Our memory verse is part of the message that we're going to be talking about a little later on. And let's read this together. This is John 15, 12 through 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another. I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down their lives for the friend. Amen. And that's exactly what that song was about. Yeah, yeah. Not only did family, friends, others that we have known, perhaps, made the last full measure of devotion and laid down their lives to protect not only our country, but us as well, that we would not have to go through that. And I just take a moment now for those of you that have lost a loved one. I mean, it could be recent or it could be generations ago to the protecting this nation. Would you stand up, please, if you have lost someone, a friend or a loved one, special one? Amen. You look around, you can see there that there are folks that have experienced that. Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to pray now, and as we do, we're going to take a few moments to pray for those that are serving now, as well as those that have served in the past, as well as those that have lost loved ones. And we're going to take a moment to do that, and then I'll open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together and serve you on this day, this Memorial Day. And we thank you that, God, you have shown us the way to remember that there is no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend. And, Lord, you called us friend, and you did that for us. And so we praise you and thank you for that. We thank you that as we worship you today, Lord, as we come together at this time, Lord, we want to lift up those that are struggling right now, whether it's missing someone or praying for others. Maybe it's a friend who's going through a hard time, or maybe it's ourselves that are struggling at some level. God, we need you. We just confess. We need you with us. We need the touch of your healing grace upon us, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual, emotional. God, we thank you that we can turn to you in all of these needs and that you hear our prayers and you respond to our prayers. And so, Lord, as we look at our nation, as we see all that's going on in our nation, then, Lord, it's alarming at times. And Father, we're just not sure how best to pray. We ask you to lead us, God, in praying for our nation, praying for our leadership, praying for those who protect us, praying for our firemen, our first responders, our EMTs, our police. God, we thank you for all those that stand in the gap on our behalf. And particularly this weekend, we pray for safety. We know the ocean's a little stirred up. And Father, we pray that, God, for wisdom for those that are here and that you will watch over and protect them as well. Be with our rescue lifeguards and those that look out for us, that watch over us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We pray that as we enter into the service now, Lord, that you will be praised and honored, and you will get all the glory, and that, Father, you will teach us. You will open our understanding by your Holy Spirit. We pray these things for your glory with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Let me go through my little ritual here with this thing. So, two big events going on this weekend. Memorial Day, Sunday, and of course Memorial Day is tomorrow, and get a day off and get to cook some hot dogs and hamburgers and that kind of thing. But there's more to it than that, isn't there? Today is also Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost Sunday was the day that the Spirit was given to the church in the upper room. 120 had gathered there waiting on the Lord, and he showed up by the Holy Spirit. And they were born of the Spirit. They were born of heaven. They received the new birth. And it's an amazing time. It's the birthday of the Christian church today. This was it. This is when it happened. And what a special time to be able to gather with you here and over the internet to be able to share this time together. But we're going to focus primarily on the Memorial Day events because we are seeing our nation, this world, we've got wars breaking out everywhere. It just seems like every day there's some kind of conflict going on somewhere. And of course, we pray for the Ukrainian conflict, and we pray that God will bring that to an end soon. But we also know that there are lots of people suffering in that. And but this is when we think of and remember those who paid the ultimate price in service to our country. But even before they made that ultimate sacrifice, we need to think of the sacrifice, dedication, and hard work that it took for them to become fighting men and women. You know, basic training. I've just had a grandson go through Parris Island, and he graduated, and he thought that was the worst thing he's ever done, the best thing he's ever done, and the worst thing he's ever done. And but it's just the beginning. He's now in school, other schools, learning what he's going to be doing. And but it takes a huge effort and a sustained effort to be prepared to stand in the gap. How would they have performed their duties if they had not maintained an ongoing effort to be the best that they could be? You know, I think some of the modern concepts of what it means to be a Christian, it's actually hurt us when it comes to understanding the ongoing effort required by love. By focusing on the decision someone needs to make to follow Christ and emphasizing that, I mean, it's a necessary step in the process of becoming a Christian, but we have raised a generation of believers who don't understand the cost of discipleship. The cost of discipleship. Just as basic training is the imitation, initiation into a lifestyle of being a soldier or a Marine or Air Force, whatever force you're in, the new birth in Christ that comes at conversion is just the first step on the way of discipleship. That way of discipleship is the way of the cross. Jesus said, "And anyone who would come to me needs to take up his or her own cross and follow me." Those that don't do so will fall away from Christ because they don't remain in Christ's love. When the troubles in life come, they think it's because, I don't know, they have failed somehow or believe God is kind of failing them. But nothing could be further from the truth. For love to remain, it must be tested. It must be tried. and proven true. It takes immense effort to grow in Christ. And why should we doubt that love takes a continual effort? We're talking about sanctification now. So justification is being just before, found just before God. That's the event of salvation. Sanctification begins after that step, and it's a process that extends out into the rest of your life on earth. That's sanctification. Sanctification means to be set aside, that you're preserved or reserved for service to God. Sanctification is growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the experience of walking through that with Him. What does God's Word say about the cost to show His love for us? What was the cost that God paid to show His love for us? Jesus' death on the cross was the cost. Memorial Day weekend is a great time for us to remember that it takes effort to achieve love that results in joy. You know, I think our history as a nation provides some guidance in this. Memorial Day originally was called Decoration Day, and it began on the 5th, the proclamation was on the 5th of May, 1868, by General John Logan. He was the national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic in his General Order Number 11, and that said, the 30th of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers. When's the last time you used that word? Strewing. Or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion. Okay. And whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet, churchyard in the land. In this observation, no form of ceremony is prescribed, but post and comrades will in their own way arrange such fitting services and testimonials of respect as circumstances may permit. I don't know if they were considered grilling hot dogs and hamburgers as one of those ways, but that's what it's become for many. It was first observed on the 30th of May, 1868, with flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. That was the first event of Memorial Day. Do we minimize the sacrifice and love shown by our war dead by saying, yeah, but they were soldiers? They kind of had to know it might cost them their lives, right? Certainly not. No soldiers sacrificed their lives because they were obligated to. They lay down their lives in defense of those they love. Jesus said the same. Did you hear him in the scripture? Did he die for the sins of the world because it was his obligation as the Messiah? Because the Father told him to? Did the Spirit compel him? No. It was his determination to love us, his friends, to the very end. This is what love demands. This is what Jesus said to his disciples in verses 12 and 15. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. The good news for those of us who realize that we need to work at our capacity to express love is that Jesus tells us how to do it. There are four things we can do to fulfill that love demands. What love demands? First, follow the leader. Verse 12, Jesus commanded us to love each other as I have loved you. Who is his audience? It's his disciples. And you and I, I pray, are Jesus' disciples as well. So we can assume he is speaking to the church. If the church is struggling, it is because we are not loving one another well. Period. It's not the pastor's fault, the youth group, or the children's ministry's shortcomings. It's not the music. It's not the lack of resources, perhaps. It's or the size of the building. It's a lack of love. The love of Christ shown through his people draws others in. If we can't love better than the world will not be drawn to our Savior. So let us follow Jesus's example of sacrificial love. That's number one. Number two, sacrifice. Verse 13 is the cornerstone verse of this passage. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. This Memorial Day weekend, we think of the men and women who have laid down their lives for our benefit. They sacrificed to the same degree and out of the same motivation that our Lord did. There is no greater love. In this cynical age, it's fashionable to question everything, even the motivations of those who serve our country in the armed forces. I strongly believe this is wrong. It should not be done. We can question, perhaps, the cause for which we fight, if we must, but do not question the honorable men and women who are doing their duty as they serve. But this message isn't just about how we look at soldiers and servicemen and women, because every one of us is called to lay down our lives. Every time we put another's interests before our own, we are laying down ourselves and our interests for our friends, our brothers, our sisters in Christ. Selfishness and sacrifice cannot coexist. One or the other will win over the other and will be our motivation. It's either selfishness or sacrifice. And if sacrifice loses, so does love. The third point, obedience. This is kind of funny that word would be used in this next point of instruction. It is hard to be selfish and obedient at the same time. You can pull it off for a while, but you'll eventually be led into resentment. And honestly, some of us act as though we resent Jesus' call to obedience. We act as though it's a burden we'd prefer not to bear. But verse 16 reads, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Friendship and obedience seem antithetical to us. If one party or the other requires obedience in a friendship, can it be said that that's real friendship? I think about the bond developed between fighting men and women in the series that have recently been on, The Band of Brothers, and even, it was hard to watch, but Hacksaw Ridge. Both of those movies were about that incredible relationship that develops between soldiers of war. And they're a couple of my favorites. Despite the rigorous chain of command and the necessity to obey orders, the friendships formed between these soldiers are among the strongest we've witnessed portrayed on the screen. These men and women know that obedience and friendship are not antithetical. Let us learn from their wisdom and obey our Lord's command, which is, after all, for our good. Love God and love one another. The fourth point, trust. Trust. It's verse 15. Jesus calls us his friends because he has made the will of the Father known to us. Jesus' kingdom business is now our business. The mission objective of our Lord and Savior is now ours to carry out. We've been drafted into his service. This is tremendous trust. Trust is a sure sign of love. Where there is a lack of trust, there is a lack of love. And likewise, love, real love, demands that we trust. At some point, we must make that choice. The choice to be open and vulnerable and choose to follow Christ's lead, his sacrifice, to obey, and to trust. And that brings us to the last point. Because we have been chosen, and we have a choice to make. We talked about it a little this morning in Sunday school. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will remain or last, lasting fruit." He chose us. Romans 5 points out that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. He knew something we didn't know about us. We were his enemies because of our sin. Yet, he laid down his life for us. And how can we respond to that kind of love? How can our response be anything less than our all, our everything? How can we hold on to petty grievances and arguments about things that don't matter in the course of eternity? This is why I believe with all my heart that God's love compels us to choose love. That is the choice we have each and every day, even today. Will we choose to love? As we close in prayer, I ask you that question. Choose you this day who you will serve. Christ our Savior, Christ the Lord. We receive His incredible gift of eternal life through the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the beginning of the church age. Many believe that we are approaching the end of the church age and that time is short. If not us, who? If not now, when? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of truth. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you that you used him to break the power of sin on this world, that you sent him on this rescue mission. He was the only one that could do it. He was tempted in all ways as are we, yet he resisted. And because of that, he became the sacrificial lamb that his blood covers us, our sins. It's the righteousness of Christ now, Lord, that you see when you look upon us. It's not ours. We have no righteousness. It's yours. And so, Father, we pray for the strength and the courage to choose life, to choose you, to continue the work that you began, Lord, that we have taken on, that you prepared us for. That is to share this incredible gift of eternal life with you in heaven, God, with those around us who are searching in the dark, Lord. They don't know which way to turn. We were once there. So, Father, we pray that you will shine the light of your love on this generation, Lord, that we will engage in your ministry of rescuing the perishing. So we pray these things for your glory and your honor, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. God bless you all.